News. News gives me the creeps.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its Commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter, we shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Good evening and welcome to the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio. I suppose you was expecting Chubby Jace because of the music we was playing. I'm going to let Dave explain a little bit in a little while, but I just continue with what I was saying. It's good to be here with you great guys and ladies out there, the foot soldiers, angels across the globe. Resist, resist, resist. Anyway, let me continue. English Defence League radio show. Capacity to resist. Welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. And our wingman is Dangerous Dave Milner. Tonight we'll be discussing resistance. Who has given in to the Dark Ones for a little earthly power? We stand with those who oppose their evil, and we always will. Dave and I will be on a holiday after tonight's podcast, but the team will return live with brand new shows on Sunday, the 2nd of October. Until then, we will present classic archived episodes from this time in the year 2015 at our usual time on Sundays. God bless to all our listeners. Take care, stay safe, resist, and always remember, no surrender ever. Without further ado, let me pass it over to Dave, who is a very, very busy gentleman at this moment in time. So, and of course, you great listeners out there and radio listeners across the world, where you might be. So, with that, let me straight away unmute Dave and give him the heads up. Right, Dave, you're live to go, buddy. Catch it.
I got it, Jeff. Yes, folks, it's not Chevy Chase. He's Jeff Mitchell, and you're not. Now, no, we didn't have the quotes at the end, as I discussed with Jeff a few days ago, because we wanted everybody to know that this is not the usual show that we would normally do. We're going to be taking a good deal of time off after this, so we wanted you guys to just have those details and be thinking about them before we start it up. Now, a couple of things before I get into what we're going to be doing and that kind of thing. First of all, the chat, okay? If you guys want to chat with Jeff and everything, we have a chat room here. Go to blogtalkradio.com, look at the white top center search box, and type in English Defense League Radio Show or EDL Radio, and follow the links to our live show. We podcast here live Sundays at 8:30 p.m. in the UK and 3:30 p.m. Eastern here in the United States. And if you're registered with Blog Talk Radio, at that point, you will be able to get into the chat and have a chat with Jeff. Now, what we're doing, we're basically taking the next month off. That's 4 weeks. And normally, we don't take any longer than about three. But this time, we're going to be taking a little bit more time because I'm moving. I'm going to be moving to a new place. And while I have people to help me move the actual stuff, I'm the one that has to pack everything up, and I'm the one that has to set everything up on the other end. There's nobody to help me. So I'm going to need time to get all that done. And then when I'm finished, yes, guys, by God, I'm going to want to take a week or two to relax, because this is the end of a one-year odyssey where I wasn't really sure I was going to have a place to live at all. So, yeah, we normally wouldn't take this much time off, but this time we sort of have to. But we will be back on October the 2nd, and I already have one story for Jeff. So we'll guarantee to have you guys a good show then. So please come and join us then, and check out the archive shows that we're going to have. We have shows from more or less the same Sundays that you'll be listening, more or less that same time in 2015. And if you think about it, guys, with all this gone on since 2015, as crazy as 2015 was, it actually seems like a simpler time compared to this. So check it out. There'll be old friends to hear. For those of you who have been listening to the show for a long time, we'll have, of course, Kel Fritzy that will be there. We'll have Tim Burton. We'll have, we'll have other guests and people like that. And, there'll be, of course, this guy from the United States, this unpleasant blind guy fellow. We don't quite know who he is. But Jeff will be hosting, and It will be kind of a good little look back in time and a way to kind of gain some perspective. And yes, there will be a 9/11 show on September the 11th. That will be the show that was done on September the 11th of 2015. And it's a good one. So guys, please enjoy tonight's show and enjoy the programs that are coming up, and then we'll be back on October the 2nd. So that's it, Jeff. That's the big, long explanation. You have anything to add, or do we have anybody in the chat right now, brother?
It's nice to let our very caring listeners out there who's followed us every step of the way on different devices and maybe on FM radio down the lines, you know. That's how things get around. And, you know, if you look on our map, we've got a status type of map of places that, you know, some far-flung places across the globe. So this is, as I say, this is so good for people like ourselves who wants the truth to be out there. So a lot of globe, a lot of people know what our voice is, a voice of freedom, resistance, freedom and resistance. You know, we are a human rights, you know, we used to be an organisation, but we are the spirit of the EDL. The ship continues to float and do our thing. That's what we continue to do. And it's been a topsy-turvy, a journey over the years that has gone by, but I wouldn't have missed a moment. It's, you know, sometimes you think you're put on this earth for a reason. I didn't know that I'd have the ability to be a radio host. I didn't know all of a sudden I'd be thrown in the fray, put to the sword, and, you know, come out the other end. If you heard the mistake, then you've only got to go back and listen to my first show. I actually put the phone down to myself because I didn't know if anybody could hear me or not. And that's how green I was. So it took a few shows to get used to what it was all about. So I didn't even know how to chat room then. There you go. It's a friend of ours, the Red Fox blogger, God bless you. She's no longer with us, but she was really part of the big setup at the time because, oh, don't worry about that. I said, would you like maybe come on a show? And that was the first thing that she joined us. And then after that, it was going great. And then I suddenly met people like Dave and Tommy English. He was at one time, Tommy English was my co-host, along with Kel. And as I say, Dave has been with me probably the longest of my, you know, he's my wingman. He does his thing. But
I'm sorry about that, Dave.
A while ago, didn't I, Dave? Would you like to be a guy? You said right back to me. Now, I don't want to do that. It's been myself. And I said, fair enough. That is it, because Dave, you know, he flies high with me, and we were great. So anyway, I'm rabbiting. I'm so good at it for it, you know, doing it. But I know you're trying to get in there, Dave, so I do apologise, mate. I just want to book up things out there. As I say, we won't be talking to our listeners for at least a month after tonight, will we? So it's always nice to just share a few things with our great listeners out there, Dave. Back to you, buddy.
Yeah, it was jokes, Jeff. I was you were talking about how great I was, and you and Ken are always embarrassing me in this way. And you know, I was you know, you were saying, oh, Dave came on and he's been with me for so long, and you know, I broke in there for a second and said, I am so sorry, Jeff.
You do what you can. It's what we do. We tag team. We're called tag team, ladies and gentlemen. Isn't it, Dave? You know.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Technical-minded. I'm sort of the talking head. Is that how we would just say about ourselves, Dave? You know. And
well, yeah. I mean, you know.
Doesn't it, mate?
Yeah, I mean, you're the host, and you're the only host, and I didn't want to come in. What the hell? I didn't want to come in as a co-host or official producer or any of that stuff, giving myself airs and all that other nonsense. You asked a brother warrior in the cause for help, you know, doing the program, technical help and that kind of thing. And, you know, that's why God puts us here on this earth to lend a hand to people where we can. And I can do that. I'm proud to do that. And, you know, yeah. we're going to go on and do this for as long as we possibly can. But the show, Jeff, is about you.
We'll keep moving like we normally do, Dave. And yeah, sorry, Dave. I know you wouldn't finish your week. So go ahead. I'm sorry. of getting into that interrupt mode. And I'm going to say a slight pause there. Sorry, mate, back to you.
Well, no, I was pretty much done, Jeff. You know, I mean, guys, Jeff's the host. No Jeff, no show. And, you know, I'm very content to be the wingman. And I'll be even more content once I get everything settled in this new place and get all this mess done. But, Jeff, do we have anybody in the chat before we begin with the subject of tonight?
Let's check in to see if we had. It's all quiet on the southern front at the moment, Dave. So, yeah, it's a bit quiet at the moment. But that's nothing new, is it, at the beginning of the show? All of a sudden, before you know it, you've got a couple of joiners. That's how it goes, isn't it, Dave?
Yes, it is, Jeff. Now, guys, tonight the show, Jeff called this the year to resist, all right? And I looked, just for the heck of it, while I was looking around for stories this week, I looked up the definition for the word resistance, and it came up the capacity to resist. And, you know, that put me to thinking. There are some people who have a lot of capacity to resist, and there are some who have, you know, just a little. There are some who have just enough, and there are some who have none. And that's what Jeff agreed that we would talk about tonight. Who has the capacity to resist? Who isn't even bothering to resist? All right? And
who's just
to
giving
that
in
end,
and taking a knee? That's what we mean, Dave. Who's taking a knee on it all? You know, who's following the sheep or over the cliffs? And we've heard so many, you know, stories about that, haven't we? But I would say that myself and Dave, millions of us out there have resisted against the government's spiel about trying to poison us with this crap they're trying to put in your body. And that's why we resist. We'll continue to resist. And sadly, a lot of those who didn't resist and went along with the people, what my neighbour, Mrs. Jones, said, so I'm going to have it. And sadly, been in a lot of cases lately of people just dropping down, well, having, I don't know, sort of blood clots on their brains and on their, around their heart, cancer. And that was, well, I was talking to my son, he's like, Dad, you won't believe how many funerals I'm about to go to. So, you know, this is it. And this is it because people were so gullible. Listen to where that box is in the corner. If you listen to that, then what happens? You're just going to follow along. That's like, it's evil. When you think about it, you've got to call it what it is, though. It is evil, isn't it? Because it's state-run. They keep pushing. They put adverts on, you know, adverts that is so in your face. I don't like watching them. I normally stick to one channel myself, and I don't get fed no crap that they're trying to put through. But there are people out there who watch it all the spill, and they listen to the news, Dave. How about that? Back to you, Dave.
All right. Well, in that vein, we're going to start with our first story. Jeff mentioned the crap that's being put in our bodies. Well, there are all sorts of things that the World Economic Forum crowd wants us to put in our bodies. And I'm going to run this first story about that. This here lasts about 2.5 minutes. Check this out, guys. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
BBC dismayed by Brexit blow to eat the bugs agenda. By Jack Montgomery on August 9, 2022. The British Broadcasting Corporation, BBC, has expressed dismay that Brexit has temporarily delayed efforts to normalize the consumption of bugs to achieve net zero. The state-owned news organization, funded by a compulsory license fee which all television viewers and all consumers of BBC iPlayer content online must pay on pain of fines backed by imprisonment, noted that the sale of edible insects in Great Britain became illegal after the end of the so-called Brexit transition period, although not in Northern Ireland, which was surrendered to the European Union as a kind of customs and regulatory semi-colony. In a short video report focused on two so-called insect farmers with a clear commercial interest in the Eat the Bugs agenda, The BBC described bugs as superfood that release far lower CO2 emissions than livestock farming, with their two insect farmers also focusing on their potential contribution to achieving the net zero ambitions of outgoing Prime Minister Boris Johnson and globalist institutions such as Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum, WEF. The experts tell us that, if we want to save the planet, we should eat more insects, the broadcaster asserted, before lamenting that selling insects as food in the UK was essentially banned following Brexit, leaving the insect industry in limbo. Their two insect farmers, Tiziana Di Costanzo and Leo Taylor, pushed a similar green agenda narrative in the advertisement-like report, with the former arguing that a switch to bug eating will, for example, allow the oceans to replenish, and the latter arguing that it would drive the UK towards net zero more rapidly. Britain's Food Standard Agency has reportedly said that it did not intend for edible bugs to be banned at the end of the Brexit transition, and it now looking at a law to legalize them again. Indeed, Taylor said he hoped Britain might go further than the European Union has and make it easier for us to bring new species to the market, so they may be back on the proverbial menu again before long. Follow Jack Montgomery on Twitter, at Jack Montgomery. Follow Breitbart London on Facebook, Breitbart London.
Okay, welcome back to the English Jazz League Radio Show. Vios, Jeff, Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff, your views.
It's Ant-Man's arrived on the scene. No one's going to eat me. No, Dave, this is serious. I was joking but just then. But you take it. This is a Klaus Schwab's idea of making you enjoy what we put in front of you. You'll eat bugs and be happy. Yes, you will. Well, you bloody eat them then. I'm not going to eat bugs. I'd rather not eat at all, mate. Yeah, it's Dave, it's so dark. Dystopian. It goes ringing in my ears. Dystopia. We're there. What are they trying to do? The summers will resist against eating bugs. I know a lot of us will. A hell of a lot of us. And of course the BBC are all for it. It's called, obviously, the lovies and those globalist muppets out there have want us to go down their path. No, we're not going to go down the path of oblivion for you or for anybody. We're sovereign people. We want to eat what we want to eat. Don't you try to force bugs down our bodies. We don't want it. We like our meat. If you're a carnivist like I am, like a lot of us are, you keep your bugs. If you eat bugs, you eat them. Don't put it upon the public. So I think it's disgraceful. It's so dark, though. That's all I want to say, because I only lose my temper about it. And I've got an headache already, and I'm going to have a bloody banger later on. An headache, you know what I mean. But no, I'm not going to have a bang on that. Oh, it's my head to be banging. Sorry, ladies and you probably read between words. Well, I didn't mean what I've just said, but that's just me. But Dave, let me pass it back to you, buddy.
If you don't eat your meat, you can't have any pudding. How can you have any pudding if you don't eat your meat? Well, there it is from Pink Floyd. I mean, they had the right answer back in the day. The biggest scam about all this, aside from all the other scams, is the fact that these people are such hypocrites. I can guarantee you Klaus Schwab is not sitting down tonight to a dinner of bugs. He isn't the right, the attendees at the World Economic Forum that went there this summer are not going to do it. But they want you and me, listeners, and Jeff, and everyone else who isn't one of the ruling class to do it, while they enjoy steaks and everything else. So while they enjoy the high life, they want us to enjoy, just suck up the low life. And this is all to achieve what they call net zero. And it is so unnecessary. Net zero is completely unnecessary. People, When we come back in October, I may well get into showing you, giving you a detail of how we can keep on feeding everyone. And that's not just vegetables, it's meat as well, regardless of how big the population of Earth gets. Scientifically, it can be done. We won't get into it now, but here's the thing. No one should go along with this eat the bugs agenda. Okay, if some people want to be idiots and buy bugs and eat them, well, that's on them. But it shouldn't be forced on anyone. And I can guarantee that is going to be the way it's going to be done. I mean, you see entire herds of cattle over here in the United States that mysteriously croak this summer. And they say, oh, well, it's because of the excessive heat. People, we've had excessive heat summers before. And entire herds of cattle haven't just spontaneously died. All right? They're trying to make beef so scarce that only the super rich can afford it. And for the rest of us, bugs. So I say completely and utterly resist, resist, resist. Jeff, do you have anything more?
Buckle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, bug off. Jeff, do we have anything more, or is there anything out of the chat before we move on?
Yeah, we've got Bigfoot's just joined us. He's bugging out of us tonight. Good to see you, Bigfoot. He said, hi, Jeff and Agador. Always good to see you, brother. I don't know if you was here with David, just letting you know that we'll be gone for about a month. As I say, Dave, did you want to tell Biggie? Because he might not have heard you there. So let me pass it to you, Dave, if you want to just give him a bit of an heads up. The reason why we're taking that month break.
All right. Well, Bigfoot's Place at blogspot.com or bigfootsplace.blogspot.com is where you can read Biggie's blog. And, Jeff, I figure what I'll do for everyone before we end up the show is tell them all once again why we're going to be taking the next month off. But Biggie will be back on October the 2nd, okay? And we'll have great archive shows until then. But right now, Jeff, we've got another one. Now, you notice that they talked in this story about net zero, okay? Well, check this one out. That's about 3.5 minutes. You guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Didn't vote for this. Majority of conservative voters want net zero plan halted. By Peter Cattle on August 2, 2022. Despite sycophantic support from the party elites, recent polling has found that the majority of conservative party voters want the government's net zero agenda halted. The conservative party base has had enough of their party's sycophantic support for climate crazy policies, with recent polling suggesting that a significant majority of individuals who vote for the party want the government's current net zero regime halted. Having been a constant idol during the rule of Prime Minister Boris Johnson, candidates to succeed the recently ousted leader have been almost exclusively enthusiastic about continuing the party's climate push, with both of the final options for PM, former CCP darling Rishi Sunak and former Lib Dem politician Liz Truss, openly saying that they back the country's relentless drive towards net zero. However, according to a report by The Telegraph, the majority of Conservative Party voters are nowhere near as enthusiastic as the party elite, with nearly 60% of the party's voters saying they want the plan frozen. What's more, the publication claims that, according to the YouGov poll investigating the matter, this number rises to 70% when don't knows are excluded. Net zero policy is a luxury we cannot afford and should no longer be looked at in isolation as a mere virtue signal without assessing the costs and benefits. If indeed there are any benefits, Lois Perry of CAR 26, the organization that commissioned the polling, reportedly told The Telegraph. Net zero needs to be considered in light of security and energy independence, the representative continued. How much safer and cheaper would our energy be now if we had not stopped fracking years ago? The polling found, The Telegraph notes, that across all voters regardless of political affiliation, some 52% favored a net zero pause. Despite the move being popular both generally and amongst the party's voter base, the sentiment seems to be provoking very little change amongst the party's leadership. with both of the candidates vying for the opportunity to lead the party openly backing the climate crazy agenda during earlier debates. Underlining the London view on the priorities of voters, top member of the Green establishment Ben Goldsmith called CAR26's Lois Perry, who commissioned the research, a lunatic. This trend does not appear like it will change anytime soon, with the frontrunner in the current race, Liz Truss, outright ignoring the issue of the government's climate crazy agenda in a recent opinion piece she penned that was published by The Telegraph on Monday. Another topic conveniently left out of the article was that of immigration, a topic on which both Truss and Sunak have been particularly weak on. While both have been keen to show support for regimes to remove illegal boat migrants from Britain, none of which appear to have yet worked, both have been very quiet on the issue of legal immigration, with the Johnson administration letting in record levels of legal migrants during his tenure. What's more, Truss has even promised to bring even more migrants to pick fruit in Britain, promising the public that she would allow the use of thousands of foreign workers on local farms. Truss seems to be insisting that the influx would be a short-term expansion, though the exact details of the plan remain cloudy. Follow Peter Cattle on Twitter, @Peter_Cattle. Follow Breitbart London on Facebook, Breitbart London.
Yes, they always say it'll be just for a short term until it becomes a long term. Welcome back to the English Fence League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff?
Yeah, just to let our listeners know that that Liz Truss, basically a part of the WEF, that is why they're both into the net zero crap. Both the front runners have got something to do with it, a part of the elite establishment. So, yeah. Now you know, she's all part of it, all part of what's going on, and they're trying to persuade us. I don't think she's going to get a vote or not. I mean, I wouldn't vote for her if she was on fire. I wouldn't be on her if she was on fire. Or the other twats. They're all lies, and they're just there to feather their own, and those above them, you know, they had their strings pulled by them above. The dark ones there, but no, they're on an evil agenda. They're trying to change our world, and if we go along with it, then we're mad. Well, I'm not going along with it, I'll tell you that now. You won't get me catching, I will know where I'll get my meat from, my local butcher, you know, and stuff the rest of them, try to pretend that something's meat and it's not, it's bugs and all that sort of thing. No, I'm not going to be fooled by these twats. And nor should you, ladies and gentlemen. Nor should you. You know, it's taken in by these government wallers. Wallers been telling us, stay home, feed yourself and shag the wife. You know, I mean, Boris Johnson's answer to everything, yeah. Well, we know that. And all the time he just wanted, you know, We the people that ended up being jabbed have been poisoned. Unfortunately, oh no, they wouldn't do that to us. Are you kidding? Me joking, no, back to you, Dave. Oh, excuse me.
There you go. Ah, bless you, Jeff. Yeah, yeah. All right. Yeah, just looking at some timing and stuff. All right, so, yeah, I mean, this is the kind of thing that we should always resist. Everyone should resist this entire net zero thing. And you see, this is not what the voters want. This is not what the people who voted conservative want. They don't want this this garbage where everyone, where only the rich will be able to, for instance, drive private cars and things of that nature. They don't want to wind up having to live in, you know, squenched together in some big giant tower block. They don't want to eat bugs, and that's pretty much the new order that these World Economic Forum people want. And people of common sense, and it's usually conservative voters who are people of common sense, don't want this. And yet you see the front runner and the front, both of the front runners, basically saying, oh yeah, we're going along with this. The only way, guys, to keep this from coming about is to just resist. And I'm talking about in all our countries. I'm talking about general strikes. Okay? You want to move our countries into oblivion? You're going to have to do the moving yourself, okay? You may want to buy a weight belt, because that weight is going to be pretty heavy to lift, especially if you don't have the people. The people should bring our nations to a grinding halt until this net zero garbage is abandoned. And that's every nation of every people, every person who's listening to this podcast right now. That should happen. That should absolutely happen. Jeff, do we have anything more?
Boy, yeah, I was going to say that I've noticed in this country that the strike, different unions are striking. I've even heard of barristers going on strike. It's a growing phase, a fad. It's a bit like the 70s with the miners' strike. We're going to see these because people are so disillusioned. I mean, our living, inflation, this time next year could be like 18, 19, maybe even 20%. This is going to kill us. This is, people like myself and other old age pensioners, you're talking about £3,000 a year in gas and electricity. I mean, and that will kill a lot of us, you know what I mean? I can't afford that sort of money, and I don't know what's going to happen. We're going to be end up in poverty. We're going to go down that dark path. It's very worrying, you know, or people with families. I mean, low income families, what do they expect? They can't expect money. They've got to do something. This government, if it's any good government, will put something out there and say, no, listen, it's not going to happen to the people. You've got to think of the people. Stuff yourselves and your big power bosses up there. Think of us, because we're the ones who put you in power. We're the ones who can take you from power. And you've got to think seriously what's going to happen, because come up to an election, stuff you lot, we won't even go and vote, and we don't care who gets you, because you're all a load of wankers. Back to you, Dave.
All right, Jeff. And now, folks... And now for something completely different. Jeff is going to read the next article. And, you know, I'll just, as Jeff is looking in his Skype message for the article that I put in for him. Okay, guys, this one here comes from Breitbart, and it is by Jack Montgomery. This was put out on the first of this month, but it's a very telling article. Headline for it is Manchester Police Chief Admits Force Wastes Its Time Investigating People Being Offended. All right, and that's the headline. And Jeff's going to read the first few paragraphs of this, but if you guys want to go looking for it, you now have the details. Jeff, over to you, brother.
Okay, so right, I'll read it from... Well, you've continued the main headlines. Manchester Police Chief admits false waste its time investigating people being offended. Oh, my goodness me. Realism, boom, boom. Reality, boom, boom. The Chief Constable of Greater Manchester Police, GMP, has admitted that his false, regularly wastes time on investigation into people being offended by things against the public wishes. Chief Constable Stephen Watson conceded that, as he put it, a Greater Manchester Police had become too, what's that word? I can't see that word probably, Dad. I can't find the magic for it, girls. Oh, yeah, so just give me a second. It's just, there was a word that was, a bit muddled me a bit. Greater Manchester Police had become too, that's the word I call, get assiduous. I'm not butchered that. Interpreting some of the rules to mean that if anybody at any time, for whatever reason, is offended, there somehow needs to be a police record. And let me go down the page a little bit. Bear with me, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I find the... Okay, I'll continue. We've got ourselves involved in stuff which is not just a policy matter. We've wasted our time as a result, and we've caused people to question whether, frankly, we know what we are doing. The senior officer continued in comments quoted by the Telegraph. It is possible Chief Constable Watson chose to speak out on the subject at this time due to the furor surrounding another British police force, Hampshire Constabulary, having arrested a British Army veteran for sharing a satirical Progress Pride flag meme originally uploaded by actor-turned Reclaim Party leader Lawrence Fox on social media. Hope has been caused. Obviously, an anxiety based upon your social media post, and that is the reason why you've been arrested, hectored one of the unnecessarily large number of arresting officers in a moment caught on camera by Fox. It's good to see you done that, and what an embarrassment they are. It's absolutely pathetic. It is pathetic. Talk about freedom of expression and that. And let me continue. Hampshire Police Constabulary also arrested Harry Miller, who previously won a court case against the police for visiting at home, telling him to check his thinking and logging him as responsible for a non-crime hate incident after offending a trans person on Twitter because he, the Forest claims, obstructed the veteran's arrest. It goes on, let me read down, this thing just, it really angers me, it really does, and I've got a picture of the guy being arrested here. Army veteran arrested for posting LGBT meme on Facebook. Police in Britain were filmed arresting a military veteran for posting a meme critical of woke gender ideology on Facebook. That's why, it's because it's woke. That's why he was attacked for it. Disgusting. In certain circumstances, there are actually first-class examples of where we've just completely got this wrong, said Chief Constable Watson, although carefully avoided citing any incident in particular. Yeah, round and round we go. No one knows where you go. I've got it. It is, I think, the function of leadership to give our people the confidence, that is still okay, from time to time, to say to people, it's just not a police matter. That is nonsense. He said, he continued, and I'll read down more. Stay with me, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. And I continue. That's called being a grown-up in a democracy where we sometimes have vigorous discourse, and you just need to get with the program or stop using social media. We need to encourage our people to have the confidence to do that. And the Chief Constable appearing to suggest that police are reluctant to launch such investigations may be misleading. However, given the zeal with which many officers throw themselves into enforcing woke speech codes, and that is quite obviously true. Indeed, Hampshire Constabulary arrested Harry Miller and his compatriot despite the College of Policing having just updated its guidance to advise officers very specifically that they should not get involved in debates on Twitter, and Her Majesty's Inspectorate of Constabulary having warned forces that, contrary to the claims of some police chiefs, just thinking something is not a crime and should never be a crime. And I think I'm going to be done with that, Dave. I think we've took it down in the right direction, and maybe we want to discuss the finer parts of the. I'm expecting to see the police in rainbow suits and God knows what else in the future take away the racism. To be honest with you, But let me pass it back to you for your comments, mate.
Yeah, well, Jeff, well done. Yeah, yeah. Rainbow uniforms, feather boas, you know, yeah, all of that. Yeah, I mean, I have, you know, the show tonight is about the capacity to resist, and Chief Constable Watson, quite frankly, is showing a little bit of bravery here, all right, because he's still actually working, and he's criticizing the leadership above him, because as a law enforcement officer, it is his obligation to enforce the law, and that law, those laws come down from, you know, from Downing Street, you know, from Whitehall, from Parliament, places like that, from local councils, things of that nature, and in many cases, the police's hands are tied because they have to enforce these laws, whether they want to or not. Now, it's fairly easy to support these laws when they know that all they're going to do is go and arrest one guy who posted something on Twitter. And, you know, that's real easy work right there. It's a lot more difficult to actually do some real policing and help people in the neighborhoods, keep from getting beaten up, raped, going after some of these Mohammedan sex gangs and things of that nature. That's real police work there, and it's more difficult than investigating people who have been offended. But I think he's right on when it comes to all of the wastage of time, money, other resources that are involved in quite frankly, this nonsense, these nonsense laws and things of that nature. And as he said, this is the time of mass communication, and people need to develop a thick skin and understand that no one has the right not to be offended. If we can get that done, then things will be all right. But this is the sort of thing that has to be resisted, not only by the chief constables, but that there should be police officers, right, from chief constables to, you know, all the way down the ranks, who should just resist this stuff and just say, look, this is silly. We're not doing this. We're law enforcement officers. We're policemen. We make ourselves a joke if we continue with this offense patrol, which is basically what we're doing right now. Let's do some real police work and actually help the people. And that's my take on it, Jeff. And I know that you have about two minutes before you have to call back in, buddy. Okay, so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm okay at the moment. I'm okay. I'm looking at the time, but I will call in a minute. I've just got to say it's wokeism that's running the police force. Can you believe it? It's so far left or woke, and it's really embarrassing to watch officers, police officers, who are supposed to be there to defend their and protect their community. That's what they swear their oath by saying, and they're not doing it, are they, really? They're going around arresting people for making, I don't know, some meme. It's pathetic. If they can't be bothered to do the jobs, or those above them have told them to get out in the streets and sort it out, it's quite obvious that this is, they're acting like Antifa, really. Reinforcements for Antifa, aren't they? That's what it feels like, doesn't it, Dave? But also, I think this Manchester, you know, the guy that's whistleblowing or whatever you want to call him, is probably he probably had a phone call saying, "No, we got to have you re-educated on your PC. You've really gone down the wrong lines on that. You need to go back and you need to go and have a couple of glasses of re-education about your PC." I'll tell you what, Dave. If we come back and you hear a story like that, he's gone quiet because such and such. That's what you'll find has happened. He's happened to be going to be re-educated. Or what should we call it in layman's terms? Brainwashing. brainwashing. There you go, Dave. That's you.
Yeah, exactly. And that is why I personally say that his capacity to resist is, lukewarm to reasonably hot. You know, it's reasonably high because he still has a job, a high position to protect and to do. And I think he wants to do his job. But yeah, Jeff, you're absolutely right. I mean, I'm pretty positive that it's already been done. He's already received some phone calls talking about how they don't like their dirty laundry aired in public. So there you go. And it takes a lot.
The re-education thing, don't we?
Yeah.
They've been doing it for ages. He might think he's got away, but no, he's not. He's going to have to go back to school again and learn the PC the correct way, PC functions, and go down that path. He's not getting away with it, mate. He's undergoing the words up, isn't he? You know what I mean? They don't forgive you, do they, when you do things like that, those in power. But anyway, Dave, I'm going to call back, mate. Let me pass it back to you, and I'll just call back. I'm just seeing I'm right on it now, so... Okay, back to you, Dave.
All right, thank you, Jeff. Yeah, well, this is the thing. This is why I say his capacity to resist is fairly high. I mean, it's a job. It's a living that he's making it doing this. And, yes, we've seen people in higher positions than him because of political correctness being knocked out of their positions, forced into retirement or whatever. And I don't know how old this Chief Constable Watson is, but who knows? He may be close enough to retirement to where he was ready to just say, you know what, I'm gonna get out there and I'm going to tell the truth. If they force me into retirement, they force me into retirement. But kudos to him, at least, for doing this much. And who knew that there would be a time when just speaking the truth would be considered doing a brave thing? Well, this is the time we're in. Now, Jeff, do we have anything out of the chat before we move on
not,
to
not
the next story?
Not this time, Dave.
All right. Well, you know what, guys? I don't know about you, but I'm ready for some good news. And this is good news from my side of the pond. All right, check this one out here, folks. This is about 4.5 minutes. You're listening to the English Defense League Radio Show.
Leftists crushed in school boards across Florida, by Brick and Ftis on August 23, 2022. Florida flipped multiple major school boards from liberal to conservative Tuesday evening, continuing a nationwide trend of parents taking back control of public schools. Florida school board elections have been a major political battleground this cycle, with big names like Governor Ron DeSantis, R., and Representative Byron Donalds, R., making endorsements and joining the campaign trail. While primary elections occurred in Florida, New York, and Oklahoma Tuesday, Florida has general elections for school boards, meaning the winners will be the official members of the boards. Many of the winning candidates have been endorsed by the 1776 Project PAC, an organization that has been instrumental in flipping school boards from liberal to conservative across the country. We saw massive election victories all throughout the state of Florida tonight, 1776 Project PAC founder Ryan Gurdusky told Breitbart News Tuesday. It shows the desire of parents and residents across the country for some normalcy in our education system, and that means pushing against transgender ideology, critical race theory, critical gender ideology, and equity which destroys merit in education. The 1776 Project PAC hopes to take these successes across the country, he said. Sarasota County. The Sarasota County School Board flipped from a 3-2 leftist majority to a 4-1 conservative majority. All three conservative candidates, Bridget Ziegler, Robin Marinelli, and Timothy Enos, won their elections to flip the board. Each was endorsed by the 1776 Project PAC and Governor DeSantis. Clay County. The Clay County School Board now has a 3-2 conservative majority after three conservative candidates won their elections. Aaron Skipper, Michelle Hansen, and Ashley Gilhausen won their seats, all of whom were endorsed by the 1776 Project PAC. This school board has been the subject of much controversy, with recent testimony from Father Wendell Perez telling the Florida Surgeon General that Clay County Public Schools secretly starting transitioning his 12-year-old daughter without his knowledge. Perez's daughter was called a male name and pronouns. She soon afterward attempted suicide in her school's restroom. Duval County, City of Jacksonville. The Duval County School Board, which also encompasses the City of Jacksonville, also flipped conservative Tuesday evening. DeSantis-backed candidates Charlotte Joyce and April Carney won their seats. Joyce was re-elected and Carney defeated incumbent Elizabeth Anderson. Both candidates were also endorsed by the 1776 Project PAC. As Breitbart News reported, Anderson had been caught in the past few weeks using racially charged language against black parents in her school district, calling those who disagreed with her publicly tokens. Miami-Dade County. The Miami-Dade School Board was flipped conservative Tuesday as well, making it the largest school district in the country with a conservative majority board. Roberto Alonso and Monica Colucci won their elections, both of whom were endorsed by the 1776 Project PAC and Governor DeSantis. Martin County. The Martin County School Board has flipped conservative with all three 1776 Project PAC endorsed candidates winning their seats. Christina Lee Roberts, Jennifer Russell, and Amy Pritchett will now sit on the board. Turning the tide. Many other school boards were up for grabs in Florida on Tuesday, and Governor DeSantis made a campaign trail blitz to multiple school boards in the days leading up to Election Day. With a surge of concerned parents due to the revelations about critical race theory, gender ideology, and equity proliferating in K-12 schools, school boards across the country are flipping to conservative control. School board races used to be defined by their low voter turnout and uncontested races. Since 2021, education has become a winning issue for conservatives and parents looking to keep their children safe from leftist indoctrination and unsolicited medical treatment.
That's probably
and that's terrific news. Sorry, welcome back to the English Fence League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell.
I was just thinking, you know, where we all say, I hope common sense does prevail. And that's what we're seeing. This is great news for freedom and liberty and doing away with the evil culture that they've been trying to feed the children for such a long time, the indoctrination. And it does seem that this is a rebellion against that ideology. You know, the Roe v. Wade, that really was a turning tide, big turning tide. You hear they're coming under the conservatives, the conservatives are coming under a lot of attacks. Some of these centres, you know, these pro, centres, they're coming under attack. Certain people are coming under attack simply because we know those evil ones don't know when to give up. They'll fight you and fight you and fight you and fight you because they don't want to deny. They want to deny what the reality really is. They're in total denial. They will always continue to be that way because they're brainwashed, Dave. That's it. They'll always be that way. It's always going to be a hard fight against these, I suppose you could call them fascists, the fascist thinking of theirs. Am I right in that expression, fascist thinking, Dave? That's you.
Jeff, if you guys listen to Ken McClinton's The Exceptional Conservative Show on Thursday nights, I'm usually there with him on Thursday nights here in the United States after 10:30 p.m. Eastern. And that would be Friday mornings after about 3:30 a.m. Okay, in the U.K., we had a good talk the last time, and you can get to the Rumble page where you can find that talk. And this was part of the subject that that we discussed. Discussed several things, but this was a big one because The question came up from Ken. Why is it now that that quote-unquote people of color, black people, brown people, are actually siding with conservatism in this? Because traditionally they haven't. You see things, Jeff and listeners, like, for instance, the fact that Mayor Muriel Bowser of the District of Columbia here in the United States does not want to allow any children to go back to school unless they've had the Wuhan virus biomod, you know, the jab. She doesn't want to allow them to go back to school. And what happened? The NAACP here in the United States went and demanded, and they're still demanding, state-of-the-art remote learning for those children. They did not demand, hey, let these children into the schools. Okay? They didn't demand that. And we had a whole discussion surrounding that. But it came around, because I had shared with Ken this same story, it came around to this this big win in Florida. And what it came down to, the answer I came up with was, parents are parents. Doesn't matter what color they are, white, black, brown, it does not matter. They want quality education for their kids. And they don't want them to be indoctrinated and turned into some kind of a float in a pride parade carrying a hammer and sickle flag. Right? They want quality education for their children. And that includes reading, writing, basic math, and history that hasn't been fried, dyed, and laid to the side and turned into some kind of a weird fantasy by somebody else. They want real education for their children so they can succeed in life, so that they can become like doctors, lawyers, you know, or master electricians or something like that, other than just social justice warriors. This that went on in Florida was really great news, and it should go on now in the rest of the United States. And Jeff, I know you visited Florida, so I know you recognized the names of some of those cities, didn't you?
Yeah, certainly did, mate. You know, and I'd also say that it's quite good to actually see that all of a sudden, now it comes up to this time of year, the politicians out there treading the streets and trying to get their votes, people are just turning their backs on them. They've seen what they've done. They've seen the damage over the last couple of years. They see Dopey Joe making these weird statements. He's got the Dopey Party saying a load of, Nancy Pelosi pissed all the time. You know, don't know whether she's had a drink or not, because she's like that all the time now. I mean, it's embarrassing, isn't it? And people are supposed to vote for these type of people to give them extra money, because they're making a hell of a lot of money out of people, aren't they, Dave? Well, the ones who drives them at the top, you know, the top, the one percenters, that's the one who's a dark force in the background, isn't it? That's the reason why they get rich all the time, these politicians. Not just your side, but this side as well. We know there's the dark forces at work, the Klaus Schwabs at work, isn't it, Dave? But as I say, it all comes down to common sense. Common sense. And you know what else I've wanted to just finish off by saying? It's proud to say that we love America and we love our flag. That, to me, is really, you know, a swear of allegiance, you know, what the kids used to do all the time, you know, to the flag and that, you know, put their hand across the chest and, you know, I think that is what we should do, something like that. It really draws you towards who you are, an American. Doesn't matter, black, white, yellow, whatever, you're an American. It's important to be an American. Love your flag, love your country. Back to you, Dave.
That's a great one, Jeff, yeah. And when we do the pledge here, we're not even really pledging the flag. We're pledging what the flag represents, all right? The flag represents us, and it represents the freedoms and liberties that were laid down for everybody. And it represents that equality that we're all ready to fight for, so that everybody can have that prosperity and achieve it. And the public education system here, as it is in the UK, has just been geared toward political correctness and basically turning out mindless zombies at the end. And parents in Florida were sick of it, and they're sick of it all across the United States. There's a saying here, Jeff, and I'm sure it's alive and well in the UK too, and in other countries. All politics is local. You may not have much of a chance to affect things in the capital of your nation, but you can start local, and that's where it all starts. Mm. Because you do that, you win there, and you knock down the underpinning of what these evil people have, and that is the beginning of real change. You know what I mean, Jeff?
Yeah.
Is there anything on the chat, brother?
Isn't it a blessing? I can hear how excited you are in your voice. I mean, I just feel that all the we know the diatribe sort of crap they're going to be pushing to try to win, seats and that, and get the house again and whatever. But I think they're sadly disillusioned. People really are paying attention, really seriously paying attention. They want change, and it's not with the Democrats in charge of the House and the Senate. They want a total change. They want it to be how it should be. They don't want this dystopian thing that they're trying to put out, the fascist ideas of the Democrats. Isn't it, Dave? I think that's it. People, the light has finally come on in a lot of people. A lot of people sitting back, not want to say too much. But now, they think to themselves, now is our time. Now is our time. There's people languishing in prison over some corrupt thing that the Democrats have put together to try and say it was a bloody, it wasn't, what they call a sort of...
Insurrection,
what they call it, a riot? Well, no, an uprising, what they call it, Dave. You know, what they tried to say it was, but it wasn't that. It was that, what they tried to create. That's why the police was guiding them into the bloody place, wasn't it? That's why that lady was shot dead. That was done intentionally, wasn't it? I mean, I'm going on one there a bit, Dave, but it all comes back to you, how dark and evil the Democrats, or the Demorats, let's cut the three word out and call them what they are, demon rats. Back to you, Doug.
Yeah, all right. Well, yeah, Jeff, they wouldn't know an insurrection if it jumped up and barked in their face. But we're going to move on now. Yeah. And that really was good news. And yes, all politics is local. But that right there shows people how you can resist. One way you can resist. All politics is local. Remember that. Vote accordingly and be present, be polite, and be persistent. Okay, because your local councilors and people like that are there with you in your towns, all right, and you can have interaction with them, and you can let them know what you want. Now, we're going to turn over now, Jeff, is there anything in the chat?
Yeah, hang on, I'll just look a second ago. I saw that, it's big, but you did make a comment early on, and I should have realised. I didn't think you just said something, but I've just looked back, and my apologies, you did say something in the chat. Bigfoot says, and this was what we were talking about earlier, the only way I would ever eat bugs would be to prepare myself to portray John the Baptist. Oh, there you go. To prepare myself to portray John the Baptist. I didn't know that he ate bugs. Dave, you blow me away there, Bigfoot. Maybe Dave knows a bit more, but I'm a little bit confused with that. But I'm not surprised. There's something deep there. And maybe Dave can explain it. Maybe my ball won't come on in the head properly there, mate. But thank you for the comment. Appreciate that. Back to you, Dave.
Yeah, well, Bigfoot, yeah, you got one over me on that one too. But we're gonna move on now to other people who are resisting, and this time we're talking about the Netherlands. And this story here is about 2.5 minutes long. You know, some more people with the capacity to resist. Check this out. You're listening to the English Defense League Radio Show.
Dutch farmers, political pressure grows on government to back down on EU-driven green agenda. By Breitbart London on August 23, 2022. The Hague, Netherlands, AP, Dutch lawmakers broke into their summer vacations Tuesday to debate the government's contentious plans to slash nitrogen emissions that have sparked angry protests by farmers. The debate was called after Foreign Minister Wopke Hoekstra said in a newspaper interview that the goal of reducing emissions by 50% by 2030 was not set in stone. Hoekstra's Christian Democrats Party, which traditionally wins votes among farmers and in rural communities, has been losing support in polls since the government published its nitrogen targets. Hoekstra's comments caused friction in Prime Minister Mark Rutte's four-party ruling cabinet and led to lawmakers backing a call for a debate that will be the first major test of unity since the coalition took office in January after the country's longest-ever government formation negotiations. Lawmaker Geert Wilders, whose Party for Freedom is the largest opposition group in Parliament and who called for the debate, also used it to criticize the government for not doing enough to tackle a cost-of-living crisis that is hitting the Netherlands and many other European nations amid soaring energy costs and inflation. "This cabinet is totally detached from reality," Wilders said as the debate began. He said he would file a motion of no confidence in the government later in the debate. The leader of the centrist D66 party, Sigrid Kaag, did not attend the debate because she was ill. Her party has pushed hard for the emission reduction targets. The government says emissions of nitrogen oxide and ammonia, which livestock produce, must be drastically reduced close to nature areas that are part of a network of protected habitats for endangered plants and wildlife stretching across the 27-nation European Union. Rutte's administration has given local authorities a year to draw up plans for how to achieve the reductions. Farmers argue that will force many of them out of business and destroy rural communities reliant on agriculture. To protest the measures, they have dumped manure and garbage, including asbestos, on highways over the summer and blockaded supermarket distribution centers to halt the flow of food to stores. Follow Breitbart London on Facebook, Breitbart London.
Hey, welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff, your man, Mitchell. Jeff, give you...
Well, I know there's a little bit of revolt going on in the Netherlands, and that is really good to see. People are really waking up to this PC crap that the left have been trying to push out for such a long time. Now there's an open revolt. It's spread through the United States, it's spread through Europe now. I mean, and now I think we're going to see a new surge of right-side politics. Well, nothing to do with the far right. This is right-side politics. And it's about bloody time. Wake up. That's all we tell the listeners out there. Some of them are still sitting in that little bubble trying to say, it's not happening, it's not happening, it's happening. Wake up to what's going on and jump on the bandwagon, because this is going to be a new journey, and hopefully, you know, we're going to come through this dark, we're going to go through a dark winter. I can feel it coming. People are talking about getting solar panels in, generators. This is what people are talking, hopefully, now. But, you know, it's not as if we've been down these dark periods before. I just hope and I pray that we can all come through it. And, you know, the thing is, sadly, some people are not going to come through this period. It's going to be very, very dark. You know, sort of, you know, the cost of living is going to go through the roof. The poverty thing's going to go through the roof as well, though, especially over here. You know, you can feel people talking. People are getting really, really worried, Dave. You know, we're all talking about it. But, you know, we just got to, you know, what do? You tighten your belt up and say, you know, I know what they're trying. They're trying to squeeze us out. They're trying to create this really serious issue, and then bring something in to, you know, back it up. But in the end, you're going to be paying for whatever they throw at you. You know you're going to end up having to pay it back in some sort of tax. This is it. This is politics. This is the way they drive their politics. We'll give a sweetener and then we'll just, I don't know, up 2% or something or other tax. That's how we'll get it back. There is a think tank thinking about these things all the time. And I think most of us have wised up to exactly what they're doing nowadays. But I just wanted to make that comment because it is worrying. I'm worried myself personally. But I'm not just worried for myself. But it's, my next door neighbours are really elderly, a lot older than me, Dave. And that's who I think about. How are they going to be affected by this, you know? 89-year-old and 84-year-old. I mean, how's it going to affect people like that when all this comes about? This inflation, as I say, is going through the roof. I don't know, what's it like in the States at the moment? You've got big inflation over there, mate, don't you?
Oh, yeah, it's going up, and it's going to keep on going up, man. And you know, really, I mean, the only thing we can do, you know, if it comes down to it, then yeah, I mean, we're going to have to do what the Dutch farmers are doing. Of course, you know, dropping manure on the highways. You know, I thought, well, maybe they should drop that manure in the offices of the politicians. And then I thought, well, no, they produce plenty of manure on their own. But there is one thing that I can think of that we may wind up having to do, Jeff, and this is going to take 3 minutes. And guys, take a listen to this. You're listening to the English Fence League Radio Show.
Musicians is on strike.
That was rather different.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back to the Dispensing Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. That was Vic Venus, everybody on strike. And it may come down to that, but you're really seeing the capacity to resist there from the farmers in the Netherlands. And let's hope it just goes worldwide. Hey, Jeff?
Well, yeah, I do think that there is a sort of awakening on that side of things. People realise that going down that left path, which is Marxism and all that, it doesn't quite agree with them, and they now, a lot of them are turning against it and going down a similar path to what most common sense people do. And that's all we hope will happen, that they actually see the light. Now the light's come on, and they see exactly what it, you know, how bad it can become. If you had a Marxist sort of a government running the place, it'd be terrible. You know, that's what they got to realise. Democracy works, but, you know, we don't want this Marxist ideology. We don't need that. It doesn't make sense, does it, Marxism, Dave? It never has, never will be. Unfortunately, you got some of these left out there who wants to go down that path, don't they? They're pathetic, but there you go. And that's why we're so opposed to them. We, myself and Dave, and millions of us, are definitely opposed to their ideology. That's why we speak out week in, week out. And, you know, that is, that's what we do, isn't it, Dave? Back to you.
All right, Jeff. Yeah, absolutely. And, so, you know, what's been going on recently, we've watched the scientific community just go down the toilet as far as the political correctness and all of that, just abandoning real science for what has been called scientism, just basically this trash. But there's one scientist, well, it's not just one, it's been a few, but this one is a Nobel Prize winner that has something to say about this multisexualism that's going on, that I think, Jeff, is worth a listen. Is there anything out of the chat before we hit this final story here?
Yeah, I'm just having a look, Dave. I just, before, when we do the other story, I just want to make a comment about something totally different from what we talked about, but something that caught my eye a couple of days ago. I think I talked about it, but I just want to talk about it. So with that, let me see what's in the chat. I'm just still reading what Biggie said previously. So back to you, Dave.
All right. Here we go, guys. Check this out. This is about 3.5 minutes. You're listening to the English Defense League Radio Show, and here's somebody else with the capacity to resist.
This is madness. Nobel laureate suggests trans ideologues miss basic biology class. By Peter Cattell on August 24, 2022. Transgenderism advocates who claim that there are more than two sexes may have missed basic classes in biology, a Nobel laureate has suggested. There are only two sexes, and those who believe otherwise have missed basic classes in biology, a Nobel laureate Christiane Nusselin-Ballard has claimed. The accomplished German scientist who won the 1995 Nobel Prize in Physiology and Medicine for her study of early embryonic development made the comments ahead of the country's government pushing for legislation that will allow those over the age of 14 to change their legal gender without medical approval, a move that she slammed as madness. In an interview conducted with feminist magazine Emma, Nusselin-Ballard denounced any notion that there could be more than two sexes, as well as suggestions that it was possible for someone to change their gender or sex via surgery or legal routes. There are people who want to change their gender, but they can't do it. You remain Zyre 20, the award-winning scientist told the publication. The medical expert also denounced those looking to use hermaphrodites or other edge cases to justify gender ideology, with Nusselin-Ballard emphasizing that even in these cases, individuals show characteristics of one or both binary sexes. Intersexuality is caused by very rare deviations, for example in the chromosome set, she said. But intersex people also have the characteristics of both genders, they are not a third gender. Nestle and Vollard also attacked the practice of giving hormones to people looking to switch gender, with the Nobel laureate claiming that the administration of such drugs over long periods of time was, in her view, likely to result in negative side effects for the user. The Nobel laureate also took aim at Germany's so-called queer commissioner, who claimed that saying there are only two genders is unscientific and that the truth is that there are many genders. This is unscientific, sick, Nussel and Vollard reportedly exclaimed in response. Perhaps Herr Lehmann missed the basic course in biology. All mammals have two sexes, and man is a mammal. Nevertheless, the Nobel Prize winner's criticisms are not likely to change the pro-transgenderism stance of the German government, which appears adamant that children as young as 14 will be able to change their legal gender without medical consultation. While political bigwigs have denounced the current regime of requiring medical input to change gender as degrading, with one politician lambasting it as treating those affected as if they are sick, Nussel and Vollard suggested that the move could result in serious negative consequences. This is madness. At 14, many girls are unhappy in puberty, she said. I know that myself. I was also unhappy at 14 and preferred to be a boy. I wasn't even allowed to wear pants or cut my hair back then. But then you have to find a way to assert yourself. That's what you advise girls to do and what you have to support them with, she went on to say. Follow Peter Cattle on Twitter, @Peter_Cattle. Follow Breitbart London on Facebook, Breitbart London.
And welcome back to the English Fencing Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. All right, Jeff, your views.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, you know, this discussion about genders, this, that, and how. Well, when we come into the world, there was Adam. And the good Lord decided he wanted a mate for Adam. So he removed a rib from Adam's side and made a woman. There was two genders. There was Adam and there was Eve. There wasn't a Steve. Or anybody else. It was just two sexes. Adam and Eve. Male, female. Do you not understand that out there? That is the case. It doesn't matter how you try to change history and facts. That's how we was born. That's how you got here. That's how I got here. It's the way the world's gone around for thousands and thousands of years. Just because you've had barns and you want to change things because you've got this evil agenda, you know, a lot of people ain't going to play into your trap. A lot of people are waking up to it. And thank goodness for that. I just want to put that back to you, Dave. You know, thank you.
All right, Jeff. And, well, what can I say? That you spoke earlier about common sense. And that's what this is. All right, and you heard that scientist yourself. There are cases where some people have the attributes of both sexes, all right, but they're born that way, all right, and that is very small percentage of people who are existence or in existence.
Is the word affidavit? They've been around for thousands of years, haven't they? Aphrodites? Sorry, Dave, sorry to interrupt you.
Okay, it's hermaphrodite, I think, is what you're looking for, Jeff. And yes, there are very few of those around, but they are around. But that's not a third sex. That's just, as the scientist said, people who have attributes of both sexes. Otherwise, you have male and female, and that's all you have. This other stuff, I have to say, all this trans garbage and all this, it's just a distraction, quite honestly, to make people pay attention to a non-issue, and they're butchering children in order to keep people's attention on these non-issues so that they can go on with things like net zero and all of this other trash. But this is the sort of thing that people can and should resist, and that's the message I'm sure that Jeff and certainly I want to leave you guys with, is resist. Yes. And Jeff, if there's nothing else out.
I just wanted to make one comment, Dave, before you do your finals this evening. And I wish everybody a bon voyage with what your journey's going to be over the next few weeks. But I just wanted to say that something that gripped me, and I see it, and I really looked deep into it, and I thought, wow. Ladies and gentlemen, you might not know, but me and Dave, really, we look towards the stars. We always have done, me and Dave. We're very much science fiction type of people. We're dreamers. The word is idealist. I think that's what the word is. That's the way I've always been, and I think that's the way Dave's always looked towards things. But what was the astronomer that's come across at one of these observatory things is that there is over 100 light years away, it does seem there is like a super Earth. It is a blue planet. There's a lot of water around it. In fact, something as fascinating was to realise how big it was. When we think it's quite away from us, you see, the further you get away in our galaxies and the universe, the planets become huge. Absolutely, you couldn't even dream how big they get. But this like Earth is 1,672 times bigger than the Earth. So you imagine we could sit Earth in the middle of it. Just think of that. That is what the future could be if we find a way out. We could, warp speeds and things like that to get to this planet. How beneficial would that be for our future generation? Me and Dave won't see it, but you could say in a distant future that could come about, couldn't it, Dave? That's you for your point of thoughts.
All right, Jeff. Yeah. We'll be discussing maybe a little bit of something rather similar to that, sort of, once we come back. And this is just to remind people, we will be taking a long holiday this time because I'm moving. And that's going to happen after tonight. So and we're coming back on October the 2nd. And in between those times, you're going to hear at our normal times archived shows from the year 2015, including a 9/11 special that was done by Jeff and the crew in 2015. A good bunch of shows to listen to, just to kind of reflect on how much things have changed since 2015. But guys, not only am I moving, but I'm going to take a couple of weeks after that to relax, because this is the end of a year-long odyssey that for a good deal of that time, I was rather afraid that I wasn't going to even have a place to live. So this is the end of it, and we're going to take time off for myself to sort that out, and Jeff's going to take a nice long break, and we'll be back on October the 2nd. And until then, there will be regular shows that I have stacked up at the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com, and those come on at, well, you can always hear them in archive, but they normally come on at 1 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday in the United States, and that's 6 p.m. in the U.K. And, of course, at I have new shows. They'll be new to you, that will come on at midnight Eastern in the United States on Saturdays, and that is 5 a.m. in the U.K. on Saturdays. So check those out while we're gone, and we will recharge ourselves, and we will be back with new shows, and we'll be reinvigorated. Biggie, thank you for being in the chat. We appreciate you. We appreciate all of our listeners and everything. And Jeff, what are your final thoughts before I do the play out? Because, man, Alex and the Bandits, they heard that song that I played, everybody's on strike, and they said, oh, well, the hell with this. So now they're on strike, so I'm going to have to play this out with a different tune. So what are your final thoughts, brother?
Yeah, my final thoughts was, guys, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to miss you. I will miss you, but I know at least we've got some good shows for you to listen to into that break that we're having. It's a long break. Don't forget us, because we're there. We've got shows especially for you guys. So don't forget that. Be you, if you're listening, just catch up with our shows till we come back again. And that'll be on the 2nd of October. But we love you guys. We really, you know, if it wasn't for you, there wouldn't be us, you know. And I'm so glad that we know that, you know, we've got a lot of support across the world that is listening to what we do. And as I say, the truth, well, it makes your heart sing, doesn't it? The truth, those things which sadly is lacking with mainstream media, the things that they don't believe in the truth, that is something we're very strong on. So we're going to love you and leave you and see you again on October the 2nd. But you can catch up with some of our podcasts up to then. So with that, Dave, yeah, good night. God bless you all. And see you in the not too distant future. Back to you, Dave.
All right. Well, I just want to add my final thought. Guys, you know, resist. Always remember, no surrender ever. And God bless you guys.
Wow. There you go. That was a blast from the past. Those of you who remember, Bigfoot, you might remember, I used to play that all the time going back a number of years ago. I've got to thank Dave for, he's just given me an heads up before we played it this evening. He said, Jeff, should we play the scorpion? Yeah, let's add that. So, there you go. Good thinking, Dave. But anyway, guys, this will be the last broadcast myself and Dave does until October 2nd, but you will get your regular shows until we come back. Please enjoy them. There were some of our best shows that we done back in 2015. So with that, we'll see you soon. You take care, you stay safe, and don't forget, no surrender ever, and resist, resist, resist. Never give in, never give up, and never, ever surrender. Good night, guys. See you soon. I've just got to do this. I've got to do that. But yes, this is the English Defence League radio show. Signing off for tonight, and we'll see you back on October 2nd. Godspeed all. Bye-bye.